Well, last week when I came here to this spot at the centre of Hull, preached the gospel, I began by saying that I didn't feel capable, I didn't feel worthy, I didn't feel ready, and I feel even worse today. But last week God blessed me in such a remarkable manner. Gave me utterance. He brought a congregation and they listened and they showed signs of really wanting to know more. And it's really difficult if you've been preaching for 40 years and you haven't seen fruit. It's really difficult when people start to listen. Yeah, that's what God does, isn't it? These are hard days for the gospel, these days when people don't want to know. We shouldn't stop sowing, we shouldn't stop preaching. Preaching in hope, sowing in hope. Sowing in the hope that God will arise and work, which he does, which is what he does. Faithful to him, not looking by sight but by faith to what God can do. Loving the lost, loving those who are perishing, desiring the salvation of their souls. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, give me this love. Give me this love for sinners that compels me to take the gospel to them. Help me to stay the course today, Lord. I'm weak. Have mercy upon me. Strengthen me in the strength of your Son. Pour out your Holy Spirit on Hull, the city, Father, I pray. Show people the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. Father, have mercy on those who are perishing and show them the truth. Show them the Lord Jesus Christ, the way and the truth and the life. And help me to preach him faithfully, Lord. I'm full of weakness, Lord. I'm just so empty, Lord. Use me. Have mercy on me. Help me, Father, I pray. Glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, in my heart now, and have mercy upon those sinners around. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm just going to walk over to the other side of this square because the wind is in the opposite direction to last week and it's pointless preaching into wind. Make the wind your friend. Have it behind you. So, yes, okay, this looks all right. Looks all right. Possibly all right. Well, good afternoon. It's a privilege and wonderful to be here in Hull to preach the gospel of God, to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour of the world. He is the deliverer of those who put their trust in him. He's the one who gives everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can take away our sins. He's the only one who can enable us by his grace and by his power to find salvation and forgiveness and everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Jesus Christ is the only Saviour, the only one who has paid the penalty for sin, the only one who has died in the place of the sinner, so that through him the sinner might have life, might find salvation, might find mercy before the eternal God, and find everlasting life. In Jesus Christ, my friend, only in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary to take away the sin of the world. It is Jesus Christ who laid down his life willingly. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who was laid in the grave. He was dead. And on the third day, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. He is not dead. He is risen. Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ is near at hand to those who call on his name. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of all those who put their trust in him.
Thank you. People need help today.
Well, do you know Jesus Christ? That's what I'm asking.
I was raised Catholic.
Being raised Catholic doesn't make you a Christian. In fact, Catholicism has departed from this book, the Bible. What makes you a Christian is when you find Jesus Christ.
Right.
And when you trust Jesus, nobody else, not Mary, not the saints, not the Pope,
right.
When you trust Jesus Christ alone, and when you are only trusting Jesus Christ, that's how you find the salvation of God. And you won't have learned that in a Catholic school, and you won't have learned that in the Catholic Church.
The Pope has ruined this religion.
The Pope is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But what you'll find is the truth. The truth you need is in this book, in the Bible. Yes, people need help. Everybody needs help. We need the forgiveness of our sins. Our works can't save us from our sins. Purgatory can't save us from our sins. There's no purgatory in the Bible. It's judgment. And what we do in this world with Jesus Christ determines where we spend eternity. So if you believe in purgatory and you believe in rosaries and all of these things, you've been lied to. You need to get back to this book. You need to get back to the Bible. And when you return to this book and what it teaches, you find that salvation is the free gift of God, which he gives to those who find Jesus Christ alone. Catholic Church will tell you it's faith and works. The Bible says faith alone. The Catholic Church will say it's Jesus and Mary, but the Bible says Jesus alone. The Catholic Church will say you can only come to God through the Church and Jesus, but you must go straight to Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful Saviour, and he's a lovely Saviour, and he is, you see, the Catholic Church will teach that Jesus is distant and it's hard to get to, but even what we've been considering here, Jesus is near at hand. He's near at hand to those who call on him, and he delights to receive sinners, and he receives sinners. And when we come to Jesus Christ and ask him for the forgiveness of our sins, then we find the salvation that comes from God. So going to a Catholic church, going to a Catholic school, having Catholic parents, being raised a Catholic won't make you a Christian. Finding a living person, finding the Lord Jesus Christ, is what makes you a Christian.
Thank you.
Please read the Bible.
I will do.
Good. Thank you for listening. Thank you very much. So Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, and if we are to be saved, we must come directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one else can save us. We can't find salvation in idols, in the idolatry that you find, for example, in Hinduism or in Roman Catholicism, which is full of idols. You won't find it in Islam, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Islam denies that Jesus is the Son of God. And if we deny that Jesus is the Son of God, we cannot be saved. Our Jesus must be the Jesus of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ, when we find him, we must find him according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. And the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible alone is the Word of the God. And Jesus Christ is not dead. He is risen. He is alive, my friend. I'm not sure what that man was saying, but Jesus Christ is alive and seated on the throne of heaven today. So the only way to find salvation is to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now, I know that for many years we've lived as if pleasure was all that we should live for. We've lived as if we would live to a ripe old age, and if we got ill, we'd go to the NHS and we'd expect a pill or a potion or something that would fix us. But even in these days, many people die young. But today we have serious problems, even in the last week. In the last week, we've seen violence in our cities between various religious groups. And nobody knows how to fix this problem. It's something that's been apparently brewing for a very long time. And this should make us wake up. It should make us sit up and see that we are not living in a safe or a secure world. It should remind us of our own mortality. It should remind us that we will die, and after death comes judgment. And then even more so, even in the last couple of days, and all of this since Queen Elizabeth II's funeral, in the last couple of days we have Vladimir Putin saying that if necessary he will go as far as using nuclear weapons against the United Kingdom, that's us, against cities in the United Kingdom. Hull is a city in the United Kingdom, and he has said that he will use nuclear weapons against us, if necessary, to win the war in the Ukraine. And all the papers are saying that he is finished, that militarily he is defeated. So why shouldn't he use a nuclear weapon? Oh, they say he's a reasonable man, but we've been told time and time and time again in the press that Putin is a madman. Now, I think, and this is my opinion, I think we would be very foolish to dismiss out of hand the possibility that a nuclear strike might be made against the West by such a man as Vladimir Putin. He has said that he is prepared to do it. He has told us the circumstances under which he will do it. So we have these intractable problems, but what these things are showing us, along with the empty shelves in our supermarkets and the spectacular rise in food prices and the proposed shortage of gas and electricity, what all of these things are showing us is that we do not live in a stable world. And we do not live in a world where we can say, oh, I will live to be 90 years old and I will enjoy my life. And then on my deathbed, if I feel like it, in my time, at my bidding, I'll repent and then God will accept me. Because any of us or all of us could die today. And this gospel of Jesus Christ is about what happens after death. What happens to us after death? Where we go after death? How we escape the fires of hell after death? Because there is a wrath to come and a judgment to come. There is a hell to come. And we need to find Jesus Christ. We need to find the salvation of God, lest we be cast into hell fire. There are those who think that Christianity is just about being nice to people and doing good in the world. Now, I'm not against being nice to people and I'm not against doing good in the world. But Christianity is about what gets me into heaven, what leads to the forgiveness of my sins. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver us from our sin. He is the only one who can save us from the wrath to come. And he's the only one that can give you everlasting life. Because without Jesus Christ, you can't have everlasting life. A young boy there came to mock me. He got a shock when I pointed at him and spoke to him. Hello again. Oh, hi. So, yes, I remember, yes.
How are you doing?
So, I'm great, thanks. Yes, I'm going to keep preaching.
That's okay, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So, no, that's fine. No, you're welcome to listen.
I just wanted to stop by and, you know.
It's good to see you again. Yeah, bless you. Thanks. Same message, Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Find him, find life. Yep. So, Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Find him, find life. Without Jesus, you don't have life. With him, you have eternal life. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have life more abundant. You see, in this world, it doesn't matter what we have. We might have all the goods this world affords. We might be a king on his throne. We've seen a lot of a king in the past week, and all the power and all the pageantry and all the glory. But all of those things are worthless and are nothing if we do not know Jesus Christ. And if we know Jesus Christ, we have greater treasure than all the treasures of a king. Because to have Jesus Christ is to have treasure laid up in heaven for eternity. And Jesus himself is that treasure. Jesus himself is the one who delivers us from our sins and gives us life and saves us and has mercy upon us. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Lord, have mercy on that man that came and spoke to me. It's so difficult when I don't remember what I've said to somebody the previous week. But Lord, you know, and I pray for him. I pray that he would find mercy. Let's keep preaching. So Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. And the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now when I read that we are under nuclear threat and that we could all die at any moment, and when I read that our cities are in violence and riots, and when I read that there is a shortage of gas and electricity, not only here but in other parts of the world as well, which seems very contrived, and when I see the price of food in the shop that I shop in, and I see the empty supermarket shelves and don't find any bread, when I see these things, the wise thing is to say that the judgments of God, the judgments of Almighty God, the true and the living God, those judgments are abroad throughout the land. Now, crossing yourself won't help, sir. It's Jesus who helps, and he's alive, and you should call on Jesus. You see? Well, if that's how you feel, well, why cross yourself? What good can that do you? Oh, I see. I thought you were doing that. Okay, no, not to worry. But you see, that won't help you either. You need Jesus in your heart. The gentleman had a cross tattooed on his arm, and he was showing me that. I thought he was waving his fist at me. But so, Jesus Christ is alive today. The judgments of God are abroad in the land on account of our sins. Because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because we have forsaken God. Because we have forgotten God. Because we will not have him to reign over us, because we will not repent of our sins. God requires repentance. In the book of Acts, in the Bible, in the New Testament, chapter 17 and verse 30, we read, now God commands all men everywhere to repent. And that means that every man, woman and child in Hull is commanded by Almighty God to repent of their sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of their souls. God requires that you repent. God says, he commands you to repent. What will happen to you if you refuse to obey the commandment of God to repent of your sins? Well, the Bible says what will happen to you. Jesus said, whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if you will not repent and you will not believe and you will not receive Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, the Eternal Son, the Lord of glory, if you will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then your sins remain upon you. And if your sins remain upon you, then you are lost in your sins. I need to keep going.
Yeah, so. I just want to give you something.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
You are very kind, thank you. Do you know the Lord Jesus?
Yeah, I know the Lord Jesus. That's
okay,
for you.
The Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you, thank you.
That is a blessing to me from the Lord. Thank you very much, sister. God be with you. Sorry I was a bit rude, but I have to keep going.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. God be with you, thank you. That was so lovely. I thought she was going to oppose, but a sister in Christ came up and gave me a box of chocolates, which I've now stuffed into my pocket and will no doubt enjoy some of them later, but I must keep going. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for that lovely, blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one's ever given me a box of chocolates when I've been preaching before. How wonderful. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. And without him, you cannot know the salvation of God. But if you turn from your sin and if you cast yourself on Jesus Christ, who was dead and who is risen, who is alive today. Thank you, my friend. God bless you as well. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive today, the Lord Jesus will have mercy upon you. And he will deliver you to the very uttermost from your sin, from all of your sin, from every sin. Our problem is that we are full of sin. We are corrupt before God. He will not allow liars into his heaven. Who is there that has told a lie here today? Who is there who has never told a lie here today? Well, God will never allow the liar into his heaven. He says that he hates lying lips. And God himself cannot lie. And if God cannot lie, why should he let you or me, liars, into his heaven? Nothing impure, nothing unclean, nothing unholy, nothing unrighteous can ever be admitted into the presence of Almighty God in heaven. Nothing. So if we have one sin that we've committed in our lives, we cannot go to heaven. We must go. We must be cast into hell in order that the righteousness and holiness of Almighty God be upheld. And that's why there is a hell. Because sin is an abomination to Almighty God. All sin is against God. Every lie deserves its place in the lake of fire. Every sin deserves eternal judgment and torment in the flames of hell. That's why we need a Saviour. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world to rescue, to deliver, to save those who were on the very verge of hell and whose feet were set in slippery places. Now, without Jesus Christ, we simply cannot be saved. And without Jesus Christ, we simply cannot find that life or that salvation. There only remains a certain, fearful expectation of judgment. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He was nailed there. He bled there. He died there. He gave himself there. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who considered it not robbery to be equal with God, Now let me make this clear. If you consider it not robbery to be equal with God, that means you are equal with God, and therefore you are God. The one who is God became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus Christ came into this world, this veil of tears, this veil of trials and tribulations and difficulty and sorrow and suffering. And he lived among us. And he preached the kingdom of God, and he laid down his life on that cross of Calvary. Freely he loved us. Freely he gave himself for us when he became a sacrifice for sin. And you see, Jesus Christ is that only pure, perfect, holy, righteous, lovely sacrifice for sin. And if you don't find Jesus Christ, there is no sacrifice for sin. Islam has no sacrifice for sin. The Jews have a sacrifice for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't recognize it yet, most of them. Thank God, some of them do recognize that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Jewish Messiah. But you see, if we don't have Jesus Christ, then we have no sacrifice for sin. And God looks at the heart. If we don't know Jesus Christ, then we have no sacrifice for sin. And if we have no sacrifice for sin, because the blood of Jesus Christ is what makes us clean, is what delivers us from our sins, is what washes us from our sins. If we do not have a sacrifice for our sins, then our sins remain upon us. And if our sins remain upon us, if our lies and our thefts and our swearing and our fornication and our immorality of every kind, and if all of these sins and many others, idolatry and godlessness and unbelief and pride and envy and jealousy and violence and hatred and all of these things, if we do not have a sacrifice for our sins, then our sins remain upon us. And if our sins remain upon us, then the wrath of God remains upon us. And if the wrath of God, which we read in the Bible, is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, if the wrath of God remains upon us, then we cannot escape the fires of hell. We are lost. We are ruined. We are damned. We are condemned justly by Almighty God. We are not worthy of mercy. We are not worthy of salvation. There are those who say, well, if there is a God, he'll save me because he's obliged to save me because I'm such a fine chap. But you see, we aren't fine chaps or chapesses. We are sinners by nature. We are guilty before Almighty God. We are judged already by the Word of God and by His commandments. We are condemned. He has left us in no doubt about our condemnation. We are under the wrath of God, and we are on the road to hell, what Jesus called the broad road that leads to destruction. Any moment, Vladimir Putin could push that button. You know what? The Bible tells us about the flood in Noah's day when the whole world was destroyed by a flood and 8 souls, Noah and his 3 sons and their wives, were saved in an ark. And it says the flood came and took them all away. And what if there was a nuclear conflagration today that came and took all of us away? Let him that is filthy be filthy still, the Bible says. If we are filthy because of our sins, as we are, and we haven't been washed, and we haven't been cleansed, and we haven't been made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we remain filthy, and we will do when we stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ, and when we receive, and when we feel the wrath of God, and when Jesus himself, seated on the very throne of heaven, says to us in that day, Jesus says to us in that day, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus Christ says that, because Jesus will either be your Savior to everlasting life, or he will be your judge to everlasting torment and damnation. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the Holy. Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. You know, the one who, when you're watching your movies and your series, his name is taken in vain. It's blasphemed because the name of Jesus is above every name and you think nothing of it. You even emulate it in your own speech, in your own language, in your own behaviour. And you take that lovely name. Jesus' name is above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But because we love darkness, we take that lovely name and we take that blood and we take that Saviour and we drag it through the mud. Because the truth is, on account of our sins, we love darkness and we hate light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. But we, on account of our sins and our sin nature, choose to walk in darkness. We choose to disobey God. We choose to not retain his knowledge. We choose to run from him, to hide from him. Professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. We believe in the foolishness that there is no God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then we believe in the foolishness of evolution. It becomes an excuse for not believing in God. But I tell you that evolution is scientific hokum. It's nonsense. Evolution is nonsense. There is no way that life as we know it could have come into being by chance over millions, billions, or trillions of years. It's not possible. And the more we study life, and the more we see, the more we know that it could only be explained if a sovereign creator with infinite wisdom and power made it. But professing ourselves to be wise, we became fools. We changed the glory of the incorruptible God into four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, we worship nature, but we forgot God and we've ceased to worship him. This world is going to be destroyed with fire, probably very soon, because God will be the one who destroys it. This world is doomed. But God, my friends, God says at the end of the age, he has appointed the day of judgment and he will judge the world in righteousness. You see, you can go before a judge in this world and you stand before that judge and you hope that he's a good judge. Or if you're guilty, you hope that he's not a good judge and that he makes a mistake and you get let off. But you see, God is a righteous judge. He never makes mistakes. His judgments are never too severe. His judgments are never wrong. He never casts anyone into hell who doesn't deserve it. Oh, you say, that's good. I know some people who deserve it. But the Bible is quite clear about this. Every single one of us deserves to go to hell. Every single one of us deserves to be under the wrath of God. Every single one of us deserves that eternal damnation which we are warned about time and again in the Bible, and most especially by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But you see, the amazing thing, the miracle, the remarkable thing, the truly wonderful thing is that some of us are not going to hell. And that's not because of anything that we have done. We've done nothing to deserve salvation. We've done nothing to deserve mercy. We've done nothing to deserve the goodness of God. Jesus Christ has done it all. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the holy Lamb of God, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, has done it all. And he did it all when he died on the cross of Calvary. Whilst we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. That means he didn't wait to see goodness in us before he came into the world. It means he didn't come into the world because he thought so-and-so was maybe not so bad and should be saved, because we were all bad. He didn't see anything in us that was warrantable for salvation. The Lord Jesus didn't see anything in us that said he should come and do this. It was the love of God alone, for reasons that only God knows, that brought Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at the bidding of the Father, into the world to save sinners like you and me. And this is the extraordinary thing, that whilst we are all on the very verge of hell, and we all deserve hell, and hell will be our destiny, and we deserve hell, the Lord Jesus came to rescue us from hell. He came to deliver us from hell. He came to save us from hell. He came to have mercy on us. He came to redeem us, the word is in the Bible. Buy us back at immeasurable cost. That cost was that he had to go to the cross of Calvary. There was no other way, and there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He, Jesus Christ, only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Jesus Christ alone. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No one else did that. Jesus was sinless. He was pure. He was spotless. He was holy. Jesus was righteous. We are sinful. We are corrupt. We are guilty. We are unworthy. We are vile with our sins before Almighty God. And the wrath of God is kindled against us. But on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus was crucified, where he was nailed there, where he died there, Jesus became sin for us, the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus Christ was judged by his Father. All the wrath of God against the sin of his people was poured out on Jesus Christ on that cross. The Lord Jesus Christ dying in the place of sinners. Oh, the love of God. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the riches of his goodness. Oh, the greatness of his grace. Oh, his patience in giving us a little time, if perhaps we would repent. But what if he gives us a little time and we spend it in pleasure? We spend it in partying. We spend it in drinking. We spend it in pursuing fashion. We spend it in pursuing our career. And God gives us a little time, and we were created, all created for the glory of God. And we spend it on things which will never profit our souls. And we focus our eyes on this world, and we think if the Queen lives to 96, well then we should live to 96. And if we don't, then somehow God is to blame. And God takes us away even in our youth. None of us knows the days of our years. But if we live without God, and if we live without Jesus Christ, we are merely storing up wrath against the day of God's wrath. We must repent. We must turn from our sins. We must acknowledge our sins before Almighty God. Now, I was going to read these words at the start, and time's gone on, but in John's Gospel in the Bible and chapter 16, we read as follows. Concerning the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, concerning the Holy Spirit, he says, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If we do not feel the weight and the burden of our sins, my prayer is that God, Almighty God, the Eternal God, the Creator of heaven and earth, in his mercy to the people of Hull, to us, to the people who are here today, whatever our background, whatever nation we come from, whatever our status in life, whatever our age, whether we are male and female, young or old, rich or poor, whoever we are, that God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon this city of Hull. And that there would be conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, one of the reasons we live without God is because we make light of our sins. We have no idea who God is. We have no idea that God is holy. Even the mightiest created angels must veil their faces in the presence of the throne of God. And they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is that thrice holy God, that God with whom we have to do. And do you think that on the day of God's wrath, you can stand before his throne and say, it was just a little white lie? Well, yes, I know that I was bitter, but somebody wronged me. And he'll say, what about the gospel? You heard the gospel. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? When you heard about him, when you heard that he was the savior of the world, when you heard that he was the deliverer from sin, when you heard of his atoning sacrifice and his blood shed on Calvary for the remission of sins, what did you do with my son? And Jesus himself will say to you, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, if the Holy Spirit were to come down today, he would draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his job. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God, equal persons, one God, one eternal God, creator of heaven and earth, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would come down upon this city of Hull, because right now people don't feel their sins, and they have no knowledge of God, and they love their sins, and they love darkness. That's you, my friend. Without Jesus Christ. But if God were to reveal even the smallest, tiniest, minutest part of his glory to us in the center of Hull today, people would be on their faces crying out, what must I do to be saved? They would say, I am undone, I am ruined, I am of unclean lips. They would hate their vile words, their foul language, their swearing, and their blasphemies. If God were to reveal even the smallest part of his glory, there would be no mockery, there would be no rejecting him, there would be a pleading with him for mercy, and a crying out to him for forgiveness. Now I don't know, my prayer is, Lord have mercy, pour out your spirit on Hull, have mercy. I don't know if anyone here in Hull today has any idea that they have a soul, an undying soul. And Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would it profit you, my friend? What would it profit me? But if we find Jesus Christ, and if we turn to Jesus Christ, we find the salvation which comes from God. Turn from your lying. Turn from your stealing. Turn from your fornication and your sexual immorality and your pornography and your homosexuality and your autogynephilia and so on and everything. Turn from these things which are an abomination to Almighty God. Turn and believe on the Lord Jesus. Cast yourselves on Jesus Christ that you might find the salvation of Almighty God and that you might know the deliverance from the wrath to come. There is a wrath to come. There is a judgment to come. There is a hell to come. And we need a Saviour, and Jesus Christ is that Saviour. Turn from your sins. Why are we living in such comfort in our sins? Because we hate God. Why are we living in such comfort in such evil, dangerous, and wicked days? Very, very soon, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, Jesus Christ will return on the clouds of heaven. And you are not ready for him because you have not believed on him. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth if the Lord Jesus returns and finds them not ready. And woe unto you, my friend, if Jesus were to return this very hour and you were not ready. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, because none of us knows how long we have. And if we don't have Jesus Christ, we are on the very verge of hell, and we are lost and we are ruined. And we need Jesus Christ. We need to turn from our sins and believe on him. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross of Calvary. He was raised from the dead by the power of God. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven today. And very soon indeed, Jesus Christ will return at the very end of the age. Are you ready for when Jesus returns? Because if you don't know Jesus Christ and you have not repented of your sins, then you will die in your sins. And you will go to judgment in your sins. And you will be cast into hell for eternity in your sins. Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come. Not religion. Not any religion. Jesus Christ, a living, holy Savior, sent by God into the world. who died for the remission of sins, whose blood was shed, whose body was broken, when he made one sacrifice once for all for sinners. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall have life, to the glory of God the Father. Amen." People are very hard today. I was hoped after last week when there was some response, there would be response today, but much hardness of heart, and that's heartbreaking, isn't it? Now, we as Christians, we have to believe that God will work. We have to believe that this is his gospel and that he takes delight in blessing the preaching of his word. So however long it takes, we must preach the gospel. And as we look out, and many people have come past today, as we look out, we have to hope that some of these people, if not all of them, but we have to hope that they would be convicted of their sin, which is a work of the Holy Spirit. Then being aware of their sins would turn. But until then, until the Spirit comes down in power, hearts remain hard, faces remain upturned in smiles, laughing at the preacher, and the world remains indifferent. But it's all of God, it's all of him. Lord, have mercy upon the city of Hull. Father, I pray that the people of Hull will be shaken to the very foundations, perhaps by what Putin has said, Lord, or by other things. But I pray that the people of this city would no longer be able to live in their pleasures and in their rebellion against you. I pray that you take away from them their dancing and their timbrels, so to speak. And I pray, Father, that you would give them an understanding of the leanness of their souls, of the hardness of their hearts. I pray that the people who now live in darkness and love that darkness, Father, would see a great light. And seeing it, I pray that your salvation would be visited in great mercy and in great measure upon this city. So, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would come down in power, great power, Lord, upon this city of Hull. And I pray that you bring conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. And I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. And I pray that everybody would know that God is in our midst. Oh Lord, help me, the preacher, to keep preaching this message. And have mercy upon those who've heard today. Turn their hearts to Jesus. Oh Lord, have mercy. And also, Lord, for those who listen and who are encouraged by this, please stir them up, Father, in their hearts to pray. Wherever they are, Lord, please stir them up in their hearts to pray for this and other gospel outreaches, Lord. How much prayer we need, how much help we need, Lord. Please, Lord, don't make this an entertainment for the people of God. Make it a clarion call to battle, Lord. Make it a clarion call to prayer and to activity, Lord, preaching and sharing the gospel. Oh, Lord, revive us, your church, in these days. And especially, Lord, give us a brokenheartedness for the lost, for those who are perishing, and a fervent desire to make the Lord Jesus Christ known. Thank you for that salvation, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for the promise of everlasting life. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I felt a little bit rude to the lady that gave me the box of chocolates, but it was very kind of her. But really, I don't like to be interrupted when I'm preaching. But there we are. But it was kind of her. The Lord bless the lady that gave me the chocolates. Thank you for her.